with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry? Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items, like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.
Looking for extra cash? Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis Hills pays some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just three blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com or call 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. Jewels on Hampton, paying some of the highest prices. Zisser Tire and Auto has been providing outstanding service to the St. Louis area since 1984.
At Zisser Tire, you won't find sales or specials because they believe you should always get the best price, no matter what.
You can find all of the top tire brands at Zisser, too. Brands like Michelin, Goodyear, Pirelli, and many more.
And with three locations to serve you, Zisser Tire is always right around the corner. Find them in Delwood, Afton, and Wentzville.
Check them out online at ZisserTire.com.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Yeah.
America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet
America
through the
is
USA.
Asking you to call. I'm asking you to call Johnny Londoff. Unable to be with us today because he's really busy. That is wonderful news. I'd like to think that a big part of that is the AM and the PM people. Let me tell you something about yourselves, okay? You out there listening who go and patronize the advertisers. And this is kind of inside information, but I don't think you might. One of the big problems with selling cars is you spend time with a customer, showing them, walking the lot, letting them drive a couple of cars, and it's easy for an hour or two to go by. Then when it comes time to go in, let's sit down and talk about financing. More people are unable to get financing than are able. So, and I'm not making this up, more than three-fourths of the people who go look at a car end up not being able to buy it. Even though they love this, I like that Malibu, and everything's fine, but they cannot get their credit score is like 400 or something. Here's what John Londoff told me about you folks. He said when somebody walks in the dealership, and once we know their AM and the PM, we're thrilled to death because chances are they're going to be the kind of customer who is well qualified to buy the car. Credit scores 700-800, and the percentage is something like 86% of AM and the PMers can obtain financing. See, that's the difference between our audience and a station that just has some, you know, derelict, irresponsible, low credit score people. You folks are a catch for any advertiser, and we appreciate that. We appreciate that you let them know how you're there, why you're there, AM and the PM. Here's what you can expect. You can expect to be treated well, whether you're AM and the PM or not, but I feel sorry for people who aren't AM and the PM for a lot of reasons. Their teeth are probably all screwed up because they don't go to Ballast Dental Care. Their windows are probably crappy, or they overpaid to replace windows. They got the wrong company to do their kitchen and bath, and on and on and on. But you, because you're AM and the PM, you get the cream of the crop when it comes to the businesses, including Johnny Londoff. I don't know who sells more Chevys than anybody else, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because there's the thing called fleet sales. Numbers aren't necessarily what should impress people. I'll give you an example. There are certainly radio stations that have more listeners than this station, more shows that have more listeners than this show, but they're passive listeners. They're not passionate. They're not active. And if you're an advertiser, you want passionate, reactive listeners who will patronize the sponsors that make this show possible. So if another station had a million listeners and we only had 100,000, guess what? We're gonna outdo them when it comes to return on the investment for the advertisers, bringing you business, people, bodies in the door, people calling on the phone. And with Johnny Londoff, it doesn't matter if another dealer sells more. What matters is how they treat the people they do sell to, because in the end, that's going to result in other sales. They tell their spouse, their partner, their lover, their kids, their parents, their neighbors, wow, what a great experience we had at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. That's how you obtain longevity in the business, and that's why they've been able to sit in the same place since 1960 and do very, very well, selling one line, Chevy, not 5, 6, 8 different, Chevy. So if you want to see the USA in your Chevrolet, you're the least bit inclined to at least include Chevy when you're shopping. You truck buyers, there are a lot of trucks out there. I mean, really, a lot of trucks to choose from. Dodge has a truck, GMC has a truck, Toyota has a truck, Ford has a truck. I know that. But include the Silverado when you're shopping. Okay? That's all we ask. And include Londoff. Make them at least one of the dealers where you go to look at it. After that, we're not worried. They're not worried, we're not worried, because we know what's going to happen. We know that no matter where else you go, nobody will be more appreciative and make it known that they're appreciative of you coming to give them a chance at their business. They make it very clear that they thank you, and we thank you. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, 24/7 at Londoff.com. Now, can we do the Casey Kasem thing before we get Dr. Doug?
Yeah, sure. Give me one second. There we go.
Dan, make sure it's okay if Dr. Doug has just 2 minutes. Okay, right. I'll recap the story I told the first hour. Today at home, I stumbled on and found something I have not heard since I did it over 20 years ago. A band called Shaboom. They played 60s music, oldies music, and were good. Dan, would you agree? It's a good band.
Oh, yeah, very good.
And they disbanded a couple of years ago. And I got a nice note from, I think it was Mike Waterman, who's the drummer in the band. He said, well, thank you for letting us, for the last 20 years, use your Casey Kasem intro to our show. And he said on many occasions people would come up and go, how'd you get Casey Kasem to introduce your band? So I'm going to play you what I heard today and haven't heard for 20 years. And it was the intro as Casey Kasem that I did for them. Quite frankly, I was flattered when they asked me to do it. And back then when I did this, on a 1 to 10, 10 being Casey Kasem himself, I'm going to give myself an 8. I think it's pretty good. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. Now, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go back. Pretend it's 10, 15 years ago. You've gone somewhere to see Shaboom play. And when they fire up the equipment before they play, this is what you'd hear.
Casey's Coast to Coast to Coast. American Top 40.
Hello again, rock and roll oldies fans. I'm Casey Kasem, and it's time for a long-distance dedication. Pat from St. Louis writes, Dear Casey, a long time ago, I began following this band that plays great music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I lost track of them after a few years. But after the restraining order was lifted, something kept me coming back. You see, Casey, they still owe me money for an investment I made in a pyramid scheme back in 1986. Casey, can you help me? Well, Pat, I'm Casey Kasem, and I think I know the scamps you're referring to. They've never had a hit record, you'll never hear their music on my show, and they owe me money, too. But, Pat, you're talking about 8 guys who've been rocking for nearly 2 decades. And it beats the heck out of me, but people everywhere love them. Pat, go figure. Those 8 lovable guys are known as Shaboom. I'm Casey Kasem, and Pat, thanks for the letter. And here's your long-distance dedication. Keep reaching for the stars, stay away from Shaboom, and remember, rock and roll is here to stay.
The hits from coast to coast, American Top 40.
There you go. That's it.
That was good.
Thanks, everybody. That was
really good.
That is really, that's neck and neck with Sling Blade. That's how good that was. That was really good.
I think Sling Blade's a 9. That's an 8. But thank you. Coming from you, Kim, who I know was sitting there hoping you could rip it apart.
No.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't.
But you could.
A little bit.
I was very, very proud of that. And the only mistake I made, looking back, when I think it was Mike Waterman said, would you do an intro for us as Casey Kasem? I said, sure. He said, how much do you want? I said, I don't want anything. Mistake!
What?
Yeah, I used it for 20 years. I said, you know, like 100 grand or something. Okay, 10.
100
grand. I'm happy. I was happy to do it. I was flattered.
You know an imitation is good when it doesn't sound anything like the voice of the person that you hear talk. That didn't sound a thing like you.
He said they knew it worked when people would come up and go, how did you get Casey Kasem? That's right there tells you. So.
It did. There were some parts of that, it sounded just like Casey.
But then you do anything long enough, you lose it. Yeah. I mean, even the best impressionists, if they go too long, they start to lose it just a little.
But even with the music,
it was too loud.
They mixed it a little too loud, but the music still enhanced
Casey
voice.
The actual top 40. Absolutely, yeah. It did. All right, well, thank you for letting me play that. I actually laughed out loud when I heard it this morning because I had forgotten about it. I haven't heard it since I did it, and it was fun to do. And I think now it's Bruce, you got, there it is, Dr. Doug's theme. I said earlier, I'm a proud granddog dad, I guess would be the name. We have a granddog. I think she's like now 10 weeks old or something. Australian Labradoodle. What a cute dog. And it's kind of fun since we don't really have to do anything but play with it and go, oh, you're so cute, and then go home and let them take care of the rest. We're dog sitting on a couple of weeks, hopefully by then, housebroken. This dog is very smart and seems to already be almost housebroken. Now, here's a man who can advise you on what to do with a new puppy or kitten or whatever, or which one you might want to consider if you're not sure. His name is Dr. Doug Pernikoff, and for 15 years or so, he has been the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, and every Wednesday, he's been generous with his time and knowledge and expertise. He's going to do it again today. Here are the numbers you need. And again, remember, as soon as the caller finishes, that line is open. That's when you frantically start dialing 855-282-8255. I'd do it now. Or 314-821-0590. Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Hello, Dr. Kim. You have something?
I do. I'd like to start it off if I could.
Sure.
Wait a minute. Did you know I was AM in the PM?
Oh, see, you can't throw it off.
I'm traumatized by this. Seriously. Doc, real quick. I have a dog who has a scab on his penis.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
He does. Oh, that hurts thinking about it.
It's black, and it's not a tick. And it bleeds a little bit, and I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to put a Band-Aid on it, if I'm supposed to put one of those things around his neck to keep him from licking and scratching at it. Because, I mean, he's ruined a down comforter. He's ruined my bed. Just little circles, you know. And I was pruning some bushes in my backyard, and I think he might have walked over a pruned rose bush thorn.
In other words, he sliced himself. He pricked himself.
He did.
Yeah. Well, see, now you can use that word in this case.
You can in that sentence, yeah.
But,
that works.
But I'm worried he's going to keep playing. What do you do with
he's
that?
He's going to keep playing with it.
That's a good point. So it sounds like when you have a little black tissue like that, it sounds like material that died. So it could have been, like you said, a puncture wound that went haywire. And they do keep licking at it, which keeps the wound open and festering. So you want to get...
if you're going to have a scab and lick it, might as well be on the penis.
Yeah.
Why not? Might as well get some enjoyment out of it.
You know why you can do it? Why dogs do that?
Because they can.
No, because they can't make a fist with their paws.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. That's the other punchline. Dr. Doug will use that.
Yeah. Anyways.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You want to, if you want to try it at home still and not go to the veterinarian, then you can try and go to the pet shop and get one of these collars that keeps them off of it, and then you take some...
Well, hold on, a collar that keeps them from licking their penis?
Like a lampshade type deal?
Yeah, those lampshades.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, no, we had to do that with our dog, and it was painful for me to watch the dog bumping into things.
The cone of shame.
Yeah, the cone of shame. Oh. Exactly right.
They have now flexible ones that are much more comfortable, and they also have ones that look like a balloon, like swimming in the pool, so that go around your neck and keep them from from stretching all the way back there. So there are options, and your vet may have more options than you'll find at the pet shop. But the point is, you want to get the dog off of it for a good 72 or more hours. Let it dry out. You can clean it with a little peroxide every day. That's not going to burn. And put a little antibiotic ointment on it. And if it's something that's going to dry out, it's going to dry out.
Now, when Tim cleans the penis, will that be pleasurable to the dog? I would think.
It could be.
Be careful. That red thing, a red thing will come out.
Oh, well, yeah.
Red
rocket,
Sparky. Red rocket.
What?
That's what they call it, the red rocket.
Yeah.
Red rock. Dan calls it lipstick.
Oh, the lipstick. Yeah, the lipstick.
It does look like a lipstick.
Put the lipstick away.
Boy, thank goodness that we don't have that as human males. Can you imagine you start getting in all of some girl and this red thing just starts creeping out?
Well, you know, I've held him as a baby. I've held him like you would hold a baby, and I've taken a paper towel, I've kind of rubbed it, and he doesn't flinch. You know, I mean, he's completely still.
Smile.
Yeah, he's probably enjoying it. I mean, you know, more human age.
That's great.
Don't stop.
No. Well, it would be an HJ.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay.
Then the other point is that if it doesn't
FJ.
Get better, if you do what I
finger
ask,
job.
It doesn't get better in a few days, then you've got to get into the vet.
We didn't need that. We could have done without that.
Now, all kidding aside, do you know what dog jaw is?
I don't.
This is one of the funniest things you can do to somebody. Is just in casual conversation, you know, you're talking about, you know, I had this, I had that, you know, I broke a leg one time, I got it. Yeah, well, you know, one time I got bit and I got dog jaw. You know this, Doc?
No.
Dog,
like lockjaw?
This is a great prank to play on somebody, is you tell them that, you know, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I got dog jaw. They're like, dog jaw, what's that? Like, you know, this dog bit me in the arm and I had to go to the vet and they said I got there late. And this lump grew in my neck and I was only 8 years old and the lump grew in my neck and it just stayed here and they said it would go away and it never did. It's the weirdest thing in the world. It's like there's a baseball in there. Go ahead, feel it. And people are like, what? You're like, you tilt your head, like, go ahead, feel it. And they start to put their fingers towards your neck, and right when their fingers get to your neck, you go,
oh yeah.
And it just scares the bejesus out of people when you do that, and then they get mad that you practical joked them.
Doc, it is true, is it not? And we'll get to the calls in a minute. But dogs, when they're doing it, they do lock up, right? Like the male gets hung in the female.
Yeah, well, it's designed way. So they're
penis. You know that? Lyman?
No, but it gets hung.
No.
No, it gets stuck in there.
It's stuck. Oh, he can't get his wiener out. Yeah. It literally gets
that I knew.
Isn't it also great that that's not the case with you? Can you imagine
that
you're with somebody's wife and she goes, oh, my husband's pulling in the driveway and you can't get. No.
You're dragging her behind you.
I've got dog lock. Get off me. Yeah.
Well, it actually, the dog penis actually has a bone in it, too. That's why they call it a boner.
That's right.
No. Really?
A lot of animals have a bone.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. So you can actually break your penis if you're
a
dog.
No, you can do that as a human.
Yeah. Well, I know that, but I mean, like, breaking the bone.
In the human, it's called Peyronie's disease, and that's just a bruise
Peyronie's?
That ruptures.
Peyronie's, yeah.
Makes it stiff.
Peyronie's means it's crooked, like Bill Clinton has a crooked one. He has Peyronie's. It's bent. No, it takes like a left turn. Yeah, dog leg. Or dog wiener. Dog wiener.
Dog leg. For discussion, the dog penis also has an area that's very spongy-like. It's called the corpus cavernosum.
That's right.
And it fills with blood, and that's what locks them inside the female.
Cavernosum.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah.
No. Corpus
cavernosum. It's a cavernous structure. But I wanted to stop for a moment, and before we started, Frank was talking about how impactful his station is, and I have to tell you, in the 15 years plus that I've been working with Frank, he has so dramatically influenced my clinic practice in a very positive way. I can be out in Union, Missouri, or anywhere, and if I sign my name, they go, hey, I'm AM in the PM.
There you go.
And I have been very impressed by that, and I appreciate Frank.
Thank you for that. That's good to know. Are you listening, advertisers? I hope you are. All right, we got a couple of calls. We do have a line open. Here we go. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Mike, thank you for being patient for 4 minutes and 23 seconds. Welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Dr. Doug Pernico.
AM and PM.
Thank you, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
The way I heard the joke was the reason they licked themselves so much because they don't have any thumbs.
Well, kind of the same joke. Can't make a fist.
Yeah, it is, but it's different.
Okay. Different but the same. We'll settle on that. What do you got for Dr. Doug?
I just wanted to throw that joke out there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Bye, Mike. It's different.
There you go.
Now, here we go again. I'm so tired of explaining how this works. We have no calls. As soon as I say, all right, we're bailing. We're shutting it down. Every line will lit up. So here are the numbers. You got 30 seconds. Nobody calls. We play the theme. We're on to something else. And don't send me an email. Oh, I tried to get on. I need to shut the show down. I couldn't get on. Here we go. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Now, look at this. Now they're calling. While Dan puts the names on the screen, real quickly, in 30 seconds or less, when do dogs lose their puppy teeth? Isn't it like 6 or 8 weeks or something? Or 12 weeks?
No, they start losing them pretty quickly, but they'll swallow most of the little incisors and stuff go out first.
Yeah.
But their final development is the canines come out in 5 to 6 months. And you'll see sometimes they leave the baby canine in, but... if it does, you need to take it out because it could displace the grown-up or the adult canine.
Okay. All right.
So, but you probably won't see any of those early teeth disappear because they tend to swallow.
Okay. Now that we're down to one line. Oh, that line just filled up. Now we have no lines open. But we will when somebody hangs up. Let's go to Doug. It's Doug for Doug. Doug, welcome to 590. The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug. I'm AM in the PA.
Thank you, Doug.
Hello, Doug. You must have had brilliant parents to get named that way.
Ha, 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 ha.
Absolutely.
Ha, 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 ha.
What do you have, Doug?
Yeah, so the Doug Joe.
Oh, boy.
Doug, your phone line sucks.
Doug, this is a horrible move left or right or take a step. The cell signal is bad.
Any better?
A
little bit.
Barely. Right. Let's take a run at it. Go.
Bail.
You're going to bail?
He's going to bail. Call us back.
That wasn't going to work. Take five steps in one direction and call us back. Let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
How you doing, Doug?
Hey, pretty good. How about you, Steve?
I'm doing well. Amen to PM.
Thank you, Steve.
So, one of my friends has a pet raccoon. This is more for amusement than anything. How dangerous are they?
Can I take a stab at this? They're very dangerous, and I think that's illegal. You can't have a pet raccoon unless you purchased it and got a permit and whatever. Go ahead, Doug.
Which Doug?
You. Oh, his name is Steve, so it'd only be you.
Thank you. Yes, I think they're very dangerous as well. Even pets that have been hand-raised basically from birth, they are wild animals, and eventually they're going to be challenged. I've raised a number of them in my past, and what would happen is, as they matured, they tend to learn how to open up the refrigerator. And once they get a scent of food, then it's their refrigerator and no longer yours. So, and they will bite, and then you have the problem. If this animal was sourced from the wild, you don't know if he's carrying rabies or not, because they can carry it for most of a lifetime, and you wouldn't know it. And the other problem is if you get bit and it draws blood, humans may not show symptoms until 14 to 16 months after the bite. And by that time, it's too late to get the shots to protect yourself. So a lot of reasons not to have it. And then what Frank mentioned was absolutely right. In the state of Missouri, you would not be allowed to keep one. If you bought one out of state with all the licensing and you still probably have to alert the local Humane Society and the local city that you live in to make sure that you have the proper permit. So I would say don't take the chance because it's not worth the aggravation.
Well, I haven't been over there since they told me they had a raccoon. And so I'm just taking my own precautions. But
it's hard not to want to raise them because they're so cute, and if you get them when they're little, they're not yet really afraid of you. And they'll come up and eat out of your hand, and they keep doing it, and they get used to you, and you think, well, this is as tame as anything could be. Nah. The day they decide to take a chunk out of you, they got some nasty teeth. But it's very tempting because they're so cute. Yeah. All right, Steve.
Oh, man, there was one morning, it was trash day, and I went out to throw a bag in there, and a raccoon popped out. I about peed myself.
Oh, no, scare you to death. Yeah, it'd scare you. Thank you, Steve.
And that's a good point, Frank, that a lot of people feed them on their back porch wintertime and everything, and you're right. They are a threat, and that's when they're really going to be challenged. So you never know when they're going to decide to trigger to bite, and it's just not worth the risk to your children and have the animal around. So don't encourage it by feeding them.
All right, I'm going to give the numbers, and while we take more calls and put them on the screen, I'll tell you a quick raccoon story. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. And before I tell that story, I do want to ask quickly, because my grandson asked me about this. He said, does anybody ever have a pet squirrel? And I think the answer to that is yes, they have. Limey, you had a pet squirrel?
No, I've never had a pet squirrel, but I know people in St. Louis that have pet squirrels.
Yeah, another bad idea, right?
Definitely. I mean, we've raised bunches of squirrels in the clinic when they were adopted. They just came to us abandoned, or the mother was gone or killed or whatever. And invariably, they always become wild and mean and bite like crazy. They might like you in moments, but we always release them, like at Rockwood Reservations or someplace. So, yeah, that's another bad one.
Well,
they're not cute, but they're ready to hurt you.
Yeah, we're in the woods, thick woods, a lot of stuff, a lot of wild stuff. And years ago, we came home, pulled in the driveway, and there's a little baby raccoon in the driveway. So I get out of the car, and he doesn't run from us. He just kind of hangs around. So I told my wife, I said, because I tell her what to do. I said, get in the kitchen, get me some cheese.
Cheese.
And she said, but nothing, get me some cheese.
Cheese.
That's right, rat boy. So she did, and this little raccoon came up and ate in my lap this cheese. Now, the next time we came, he's kind of there waiting for his cheese.
Cheese.
So, that's right, rat boy. So the same thing, and it became a day. This thing sort of was our little pet raccoon. But then I talked to you, Dr. Doug, and I remember you said, no, there's going to come a time when one of the kids is going to get bitten really badly. And we ended up putting it in the cage and taking it away somewhere where it could eat somebody else's cheese. And
you know, there's another good point. Raccoons carry canine distemper, and they can come in your backyard and drop poop and urinate, and they potentially, or bite your dog. They can transfer canine distemper to your dog, and they have what are called different strains of the virus. They have something called a field strain, and your dog might be vaccinated, but it may not be vaccinated against a particular strain that could
not a strain. Strain is like...
you mean like a grunt?
Yeah,
exactly.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I got a grunt.
No.
The strain, like, it goes.
That's Tim.
That's all I got. That's
no.
All right. Hang on a second.
Strain. Here's a strain.
Strain. Do you want me to make the sound effect myself?
No. It's too late. You ruined it. It's too late.
What don't happen?
I say we just go to Rhonda. This is.
I got dirty grunts. Is this it?
What?
Yeah, I've got. No, I've got something that's titled dirty grunts.
Do it. Well, that could be a strain. That could be a strain.
Is that it?
But that's more of a grunt. Let's go to Rhonda, because she's getting fed up with all this, and I don't blame her. Rhonda, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Rhonda. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you, Rhonda. You sound concerned or distressed. Is everything okay?
I just took my dogs to the vet, and they both have what he said, it's kind of like an umbrella. They kennel cough, but he said it's not necessarily, they can't really say it's actually kennel cough. It could be a lot of other
things. That right there, does it sound like that, Rhonda? Here's an actual recording of a dog with kennel cough. Sound like that?
Something like that. Very close.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
I can tell you, Rhonda, how to determine whether it is or isn't. If you squeeze that trachea, move it along the neck and squeeze it in a few places fairly firmly, if that initiates a cough, that's probably 99% kennel cough. And kennel cough's not life-threatening, but it takes 2 or 3 weeks for the animal's body to work through it. And a lot of people will put you on a cough medicine, an antibiotic, and everybody has a preference, but I like to use a one-time shot a steroid because that takes the inflammation away and it hastens the healing. But that's my process, and you'd need to talk with your vet to see what they agree to.
Now, why don't you call kennel cough? They pick it up by going to the kennel from another dog or something?
Yeah, they get it's aerosolized. So when one animal coughs and they haven't been vaccinated adequately, then they're going to spread it. And the other problem with kenneling and grooming where they require the shot, if they give the shot the day the animal's coming into the center, that may not be protective enough. So you always, if you know you're going to go on a trip or you're going to be grooming and you need to take it in and get them up to date, you should have that shot at least once a year, and probably, preferably, at least two times a year is better. And you do it within a good 7 to 10 days advance, so that the immune response you get is protective, okay?
I get that sometimes at the movie theater when I'm eating popcorn. It's Colonel Cough.
No, it's Pernikoff. No, I'm sorry. Dr. Doug.
Oh, Pernikoff. Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. So, Rhonda, did that help at all, I hope?
It did. Actually, the dogs hadn't been sick until we took them to the vet last week for their shots. And then now
yeah, that happens.
And they haven't been around other dogs, so
yeah, that happens too. Yeah, so you need to call the vet and say, look, it's nobody's intention to do that, but animals are coming in and out, and you just need to say, look, you know, my animals are normal, they haven't been exposed to anywhere but here. So, and they would probably know it, because I bet you they're not the only dogs that have come back with it. And you could probably get some, I can't speak for them, but you might get a discount on the bill.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. You want to hear my lame, worn-out favorite joke that has to do with what we're just talking about? It's bad, but it's good.
I insist.
So I've told it 100 times, but this would be 101. The guy is in a hearse. He's driving a hearse, and he goes up a hill in a small town, and the casket slides, the back door's not latched, and it slides out and starts tumbling down the street and tumbles right into the front door of a pharmacy. And the nearsighted pharmacist sees that something's coming in the door. It's a tumbling casket. And he says, can I help you? And the corpse inside the box says, here, can you get me something to stop this coughing? Thank you, doctor. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody.
I've got something that might work as a groan.
No.
A strain. Sorry, a strain.
Okay.
All right. This is for recommended by a listener, actually.
No.
Could you say?
That's a male turtle doing it.
Well, yeah.
Strain is like...
Exactly. He's straining.
No. That's not a human strain. Forget it. Jim. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hey, Jim.
I have a dog that we bring on vacation to a cabin at our lake house, and the first thing she loves doing is running around the yard, and then she'll eat all of the goose and duck poop on the property.
So
two questions, you know, A, is that harmful? I would think it is. And then secondly, is there anything to prevent her from doing that?
Okay, well, the first point you ask is about the harmfulness, and that poop, and a good healthy dog is probably going to go through the body. It might cause a little diarrhea, but typically, like parasitism, is very species specific. So if that duck or whatever is carrying parasites, typically they're not going to find a home in the dog.
Not just one site, that's okay, but a parasite. That's what you got a problem right there.
But in turn, the options you have, we've talked about this many times before, but there's a product called Forbid, F-O-R-B-I-D, that most veterinarians carry, and there might be other alternative like products. We've also talked about meat tenderizer, Adolph meat tenderizer, but that one you'd have to go around and salt all the poops. With the Forbid, you put it in their dog diet, and then when they eat that, you know, they are deterred from eating.
Deterred?
What
a perfect word. They're
so
deterred. You are. So, and by the way, Jim, this is a very common, and doctor, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not that dangerous, because it seems like a lot of dogs at least do it. This little puppy that my son got, They've only had it a couple of weeks. And that little female already eats deer poop. She goes outside and starts eating deer poop. It's just like a natural attraction. I don't.
Right.
You know, they'll sniff and sniff and sniff and circle to find the perfect place to poop. Like they're so hygienically concerned, and they'll turn right around and eat deer poop. And the reason I knew it, Jimmy, you'll appreciate this. We went over to their house, and I'm holding this little dog. He's just licking me in the face. And then my daughter-in-law says, she starts telling the story about how today she had to wash his face and clean him up because he'd been eating deer poop. And she tells me that while he's licking me in the face. So I don't think it'll kill him.
I've had that story too many times happen to me.
All right. So, Jim, not a big thing to worry about, but, yeah, it's disgusting.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. And now we move on to Steve. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, Dr. Pernikoff. It's me again.
How are you?
I'm doing well. So I have another friend.
You got a lot of friends. You got a lot of friends.
Well, she was actually one of my exes.
Okay.
So she found, I know a lot of people from rural places, she found a squirrel, baby squirrel, abandoned by her mother. She took it, raised it. Squirrel's doing well, as far as I know. She actually talked to a vet about it and got it fed and got it back up to speed.
So what's the question?
Well, now it's about a year and a half later, and not a full grown, but a pretty active squirrel. Like, when does it get let go? Like
today.
Oh yeah, I mean, I say today or yesterday, and it's a good time. So what a lot of people do is they'll either go to like Wild Birds Unlimited or someplace like that. They'll get one of these squirrel boxes, and they put the squirrel in there, and they put food on top of the box for a few days, and the squirrel will then start to explore, learn how to eat things, but he always can come back to that box and have a little bit of a meal, and you can keep that going as long as you want, but keep it away from the house, okay?
Well, the thing was, she took it, and she actually had to feed it because he couldn't feed itself. It was so tiny, it fit in the smallest part of her hand.
But now, now we're at a different point.
Like, how do we let it go? Like, because it's getting crazy.
Yeah, exactly what I said. You get a little box, one of these little, you can use a any kind of birdhouse kind of thing. You put the squirrel in there and you put some food on top, and he's going to adapt very quickly. Trust me. They're very adaptable. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Steve, you got some more.
I don't really like her anymore, but I want to make sure the squirrel's okay.
Well, if you don't like her, tell her she should let the squirrel sleep on her face. Tell her you checked with the vet, and the best way to... What the hell in the world was that?
Was that you,
that
Dan?
That was me.
You bet.
Dan, don't... I thought I was going to jump on Steve. I thought Steve lost his mind. You. You can't do that. Sorry, Steve. Thank you for the call, Steve.
All right. Yeah, have a good one.
I was looking for some grunts.
Oh, actually, I found one. I think this might work as a strain. Is this all right? Let me just give it a whirl.
That's some strain.
Wow.
All right, I'll save
that. Sounds serious.
I think that was my grandfather.
That's one.
That's one.
We could go with that one. We have no more calls. I'm not going to keep throwing the number out. What are you doing?
That's a strain.
Dan, you can't sit over there and play your own little show, do your own little show, when we don't know where the noises are coming from. Good. I'm tired of giving the message to people, and then all the lines light up. We'll just call it a day here. Is there anything in closing that you need to share with us or warn us about or teach us before we go away here? All right, who did that? Who did that?
No, that was Tim.
Dan, seriously.
I'm done. I'm finished.
You're like that kid in school that you finally just have to call his parents and say, come get him. Oh, my goodness.
Just a message for your kids. When it comes to training, use that crate. They probably are. And be persistent and consistent, just like you are with your children when you're trying to potty train them or get them out of diapers. Consistency is the name of the game.
Yeah. Okay. I never, the worst offenders on that circling and circling are these little shih tzus. We had one, and that little idiot would circle and circle and circle and circle the other direction, and then move over and circle again, finding the perfect place to poop. What are you looking for to put poop on? Something that smells good?
My dog will beat that. She did it today. She was kind of like walking and trying to find a spot, right? And then she's kind of squatting and walking as she's going.
Oh, yeah.
And she's pooping as she's walking.
I know.
And then finally she stops.
I know. They're weird.
I just don't understand.
They're weird. I don't know what it is they're looking for. Doctor, I don't know what that noise is, but you better go attend to it. We will do this again next week. What do you say?
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Courtesy. And Window World. Number one selling replacement window in the United States. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Everybody who's ever had a pet, you can't have a pet without having at least one or two really great pet stories. Our most horrible story, we had a dog named Pepsi, like Pepsi Cola. I just thought that was a cute name, Pepsi. Pepsi was murdered by another dog, by a big bully in the neighborhood named, and get this name, if ever a dog was destined to be a mean killer, his name was Scar. Big
dog.
German Shepherd. And he used to, nip at our dog and bite our dog. And then one day, dog got out of our sight. Scar was out of our sight. Little did we know, they were off together. And Scar killed Pepsi.
Scar came back alone.
Oh. Scar came back alone. Just ripped him to shreds by the railroad tracks. Ripped him up. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's mean.
And then I hit a dog with a motorbike when I was...
Why'd you do that?
I didn't mean to do it. He ran out in front of me. Oh. I was 16 years old, and there were two of us. There was a motorbike in front of me, and the dog ran out to chase the bike in front of me. So when he ran out from the right side of the street, guess who's behind the first bike? Me. And I hit that dog right dead center in the rib cage in the side. I was doing about 60. You'd think it would have broken that dog in half. No. This dog's name was Duke. Duke was a 125-pound German Shepherd. Duke goes in the ditch. I go in the ditch. I fly over the handlebars. The bike gets all messed up. And Duke survived. They wrapped his ribs up, and in no time, he was good to go. I mean, that was a one tough dog. But... yeah, you can't not have disgusting pet stories, great sort of aww type pet stories if you have a pet. And I mean this completely. I think, and I'm not taking sides boys over girls, because I think it's different with you. I think every little boy should have a dog. I don't know why I say that over girls. Every little boy should have a dog.
I got my first dog when I was 11, and loved it. It was a German Shepherd. She was pedigree, beautiful thing.
I love German Shepherd.
And I used, just having that dog, I felt better when
safe.
I was walking around. Yeah, I felt safer. Safe. I could go to the park by myself. My dad knew that I was fine because this thing was a beast. Nobody's going to mess with you when you got a German Shepherd with you. And, yeah, she was the best dog ever.
Now, people think I'm making this up, but I'm not. When I was in grade school in Tennessee, my neighbor's name was John, a little boy. He was a year younger than I was, and he was real slightly built. He was a little kid. He rode his German Shepherd, collie. He rode his collie to school. We were across the street from school, a block.
Mm-hmm.
He rode the dog to school. Like in the old days, a kid would ride a mule or a horse to school. He rode his dog
to school.
Wow, yeah. When we were kids, a friend of mine had a Great Dane. And yeah. We put the Marvel the Mustang, remember that? The Marvel the Mustang, the little pony that you would get on and bounce up and down. It had a removable saddle. We put the saddle
on the dog.
Saddle on the dog, and we'd get on Thor.
Did you ever do this? You know how if you have a towel or a rag, and the dog will pull on it, and they'll crouch down and dig their legs in? You can pick the dog up by the teeth. I mean, have you ever done this?
Oh, yeah.
You raise them up. We used to swing our dog around with a towel, and the only attachment was he clenched down with his teeth and would not let go.
I do that now with our dog, little Diesel.
Do you?
Yeah.
They love tug of war, man.
I know,
And they won't let go. And you can lift them off the ground, swing them, they still won't let go. And they got some strong jaws, too. And that's how they lose a lot of their puppy teeth. I can't count the times when, as the towel came out, so did a couple of teeth with the towel because he's pulling so hard. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, he will be back again with us next Wednesday. 17 years ago tonight. Anybody have any idea what happened? It was pretty big in the world of television. 17 years ago tonight.
Tonight? 2002?
Seinfeld?
And the key is the word tonight. Johnny Carson walked away, said goodnight, goodbye. Mm. I bid you all a very pleasant good evening, or whatever he said. I cannot believe that's been 17 years. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that.
No, I think you're right. It seems like it's been longer, though.
It was 92, so that would be, yeah, that'd be 17.
No, 92. I'm sorry.
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah, if you get it in 92, then that's 27 years.
Yeah, was it 27 years ago?
Yeah.
Look it up, Tim. You know what? Maybe it was 27.
If it's 92.
If it's 27, then I'm really blown away. It can't possibly be 27 years. Now I'm confused. I know it was tonight, and I thought it was 17 years ago tonight.
It's the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Last show was, I believe, May 22nd.
I'll have to go to their Wikipedia page.
Yeah, Bill Cleveland said it's at least 27 years.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, 92.
Wow. Wow. That just seems impossible to me.
No, I thought 17. I thought that was...
Yeah, because Jay Leno was on forever. I thought 17 was a little short.
Where did that time go? Wow. It's like I watched it 5 years ago on television. And the whole week leading up to it, you know, what's her name that I can't stand?
Bette Midler.
Do you know who the first ever host of the Tonight Show was?
The first host of the night show, I'm going to say, was Steve Allen.
Right.
Correct?
Carson was he was the seventh host of the show.
Seven?
What? Jack Parr,
mm-hmm.
Steve Allen.
That's two of the six.
I got news for you. I thought it was just Steve Allen and Jack Parr.
Excuse me. He was they totaled him, so he was the sixth host of the show. My apologies.
Well, hold on. That's still
six. Steve Allen, Jack Parr, Al Jazbo Collins.
Who?
Al Jazbo Collins.
Jazz.
Has anybody ever heard of this guy?
You know his brother is.
He was actually the host of the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
No, there's something wrong. Brothers
are okay. There's for longer there's than a season.
2,000 episodes between 1957 and 1962, before Carson took over. There was 2,000 episodes of the Tonight Show. They don't list how many they hosted. They list Steve Allen, Ernie Kovacs, Jack Lasculli, Al Jazbo Collins, and Jack Parr as the hosts.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, they must have been auditioning or something.
Carson had 4,531 episodes, and Leno had just under 3,800. So he did about 500 more than Leno did.
Oh. I know that in the business.
And Leno had a second run. I forgot, because Conan O'Brien did 146 episodes. And Leno came back and did another 835. So Leno actually did 45, 46, 10 to Carson. He beat Carson by about 80 episodes.
What a bizarre string of events that was when Leno did that horrible show.
I remember that.
Oh, my goodness.
All the writers on strike and everything.
Horrible. And
Conan was so bad, he lasted June 1st of 09 to January 22nd of 10. So that's, what, less than 8 months?
Yeah. And I'm blown away, if you really start reading, how many people in the business hate Jay Leno. I mean, they can't stand him. They can't stand Jay Leno.
Remember that comedian. That HBO show?
Yes.
Was it Late Night?
Late Shift or Late Night?
Late Shift.
The Late Shift.
Yeah, Late Shift.
Oh, man, they trashed him. And based on credible information, apparently.
Yeah. Or he hid in the closet.
Yeah, they claim he didn't play fair. I got news for you. When you want a job and you want it badly, you do whatever it takes, as long as it's not, you know, illegal or just flat out wrong. And hiding in the closet listening to high-level executives is not wrong. I think it's brilliant, quite frankly.
Wait, what was that he did?
He hid in the closet and listened to the executives at NBC talking about what they wanted in a host to replace Carson. And so he's taking notes in the closet. So he knows exactly what to say when they sit down with him. He knows what they're looking for. I think it's genius, myself. It's going to be 5 o'clock in about 15 seconds, so let me tell you what that means. It means that we're going to have news, and after the news, we're going to hear from traveling man himself, Bill Cleveland. Then you're going to hear from me, a couple of stories, a couple of things in the news, a great joke, and then Mike Evans, and then we'd all go home. So that's the rundown. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is KM Jans, and you're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook.
President Trump says the situation with Democrats is so sad.
Trump tweeted on Wednesday that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer will never be able to see or understand the great promise of the country. Trump again slammed the Russia investigation, calling it a costly witch hunt and a tremendous waste of time and energy. Trump abruptly walked out of a scheduled White House meeting with top Democrats on infrastructure Wednesday. He was angry about an earlier Pelosi remark that he is engaged in a cover-up. Tom Roberts, NBC News Radio.
A New York judge says Deutsche Bank and Capital One can hand over President Trump's financial records to House Democrats. Attorneys representing Trump, his three older children, and the Trump Organization argued that the subpoenas had no legitimate legislative